it's Joe McGee. Welcome to our podcast. Make sure that you subscribe and please share the podcast with your friends. That is the number one way you can help us reaching people with God's love and healing. We love you guys. Hope you enjoy the podcast. Hey, everybody. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday with Joe and Angel.
Hello.
And so we've got a ton of questions that have been sent in, and we're going to take some time to answer them today. They're really good. By the way, if you ever enjoy this, okay.
Scratch that one. Let's start again.
Hey, everybody. It's Joe and Angel. Welcome to another Mailbag Monday where we take time and answer your questions. We have a ton that's been sent in. We want you to know something. We want to thank our partners for making this possible. We do this every week, three times a week. As a matter of fact, we're on. And so we can't do that without our partners. Our partners help pay for this equipment and go pretty much around the world. We're not just in the United States. We're around the world. People write us and comment and email us. So thank you, partners, for what you do. And if you'd like to be a partner, all you got to do is go to our website. There's a thing that says partner. You can tap in, give a one-time gift or a monthly gift, but it would really be appreciated. So thank you, guys. Thank you for being our partner. We really appreciate it. Angel?
Actually, I asked, this is my birthday month.
Let's Joe forget.
I am going to be 59.
Happy birthday. Month.
Thank you. And you can write in and say you don't look 59. That'd be great. No, but one of the things I suggested would be a great birthday present if you'd send in a donation to Joe McGee Ministries.
Yes, that would be
that
great.
That would really be a very kind way to just say happy birthday to me. So thank you.
We're being very efficient with the money, guys. I'm telling you, we do real good.
Okay, guys. We got some good questions.
Yeah, we do.
All right. Joe, I heard you talk about five books you had your children or son-in-law read and do reports on for marriage and family. Would you mind sharing what books those were?
Well, yeah. No, I wouldn't mind.
You remember?
No, I don't. My mind just went blank.
Was it one of your books?
No, none were my books. Their books is a book on finance, a book on relationships, on marriage, a book on long-term marriages, a history of people that have been married a long time. They had 25 couples, had very successful marriages. The ins and outs, ups and downs. There are no perfect marriages, just some strong ones. The Bible says the righteous fall, you know, seven times they can get back up. So I wanted my kids to know you are not the only person to go through what you're going through. People have been through it before. They come out of it. They get stronger. God's looking for overcomers. And so not perfect people. There are no perfect people. So I wanted just those five. I'll get back with a list of that because we don't look at these questions before. So I'll do that next time we're on the air, and I'll give you the five books that I had them read. Because my oldest is 45. That's been a few years ago, but they were really good, and they thanked me, so they did.
Yes.
Matter of fact, some pastor asked them. I just got a comment from another pastor. He said it changed their lives, and he quoted me during one of his sermons. Joe McGee recommended these, and I found they were really good. Did it for my kids, so we'll get that list to you.
All right. Joe, I'm looking for the test. Well, now you're going to have to answer another question. Could you remember this test? Okay. I'm looking for the test that Joe used when he was a school administrator to help students find what they're good at. Could you share what that test was?
There were three tests. Number one was unemployment test, which you can get a facsimile of it from Barnes & Noble. They have a bookshelf on tests, and they do have the unemployment test. It's not the one they use now because they don't make it available, but you can get a copy of it. Then I had a copy of Discover Your God-Given Gifts by Don and Katie Fortune, chosen books, real good book. And then I tell people down to the local library and find any book you can find about employment, because most people don't know how to do that. They don't know how to get a job. They don't know what they're looking for. So guys, they're looking for two basic things. Number one, will you show up? And will you show up tomorrow? And will you do your job? Will you stay late if you're asked to? Will you not gripe and complain? We're looking for not perfect. Nobody's looking to hire perfect people. They don't exist. Trying to find faithful, loyal people that'll show up. So if you'll do that, you get a lot of raises, I promise you.
You know, it's interesting. You know, when the Bible talks about raise up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. And, you know, many times we've thought that meant, you know, if he strays away from the church, he'll come back. You know, we've kind of interpreted it that way. But it really means, if you really dig into it, it means according to his specific dreams and desires. Everybody has something that God's placed in their heart.
That God's placed in their heart.
I used to, when I was a youth pastor, I worked with teenagers for many years, and I'd always say, what's God's will for your life? And it didn't matter what age you said this, whether it was to a grandmother or to a, you know, a junior higher, say, what's God's will for your life? And they'd say, I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I would say, what if I could tell you? And so they said, okay. And I said, well, it's the same it is for me when you get born again. It's to go in the world, all the world, and preach the gospel to every creature. That's the mandate that God gave us. But how do you do that? Through what you love. Like for my son, it's through music. For my daughter, it's through writing. I have creative kids. Joe, on the other hand, is more athletic kids. And so maybe it's athletics. It could be just, what is it that you love? What are you drawn to? God has given you dreams and desires in your heart. And as you, the path is never clear in the beginning, but once you take steps towards it, it gets clearer and clearer. And sometimes God will get you over here to get you over there because you wouldn't go
over there.
Yeah. So,
you should, I used to tell our kids, you shouldn't hate going to work. If you hate going to work, there's a problem. You ought to love what you do because you're good at it. Electrician, plumber, lawyer, doctor, nurse, whatever it is, you should love going to work because that's a gift God gave you to be a blessing to other people. People love doing what they're good at. Everybody loves doing what they're good at. You don't like doing what you're not good at, and you should get paid for what you're good at. So try to help find, especially as a parent, I want my kids to know when they leave home, hey, I pretty much know what you're good at. You're going to be good at one of these two or three things. So I can narrow it down real close. So the tests we would give them, especially discover your God-given gifts, you still find that at Barnes & Noble. Great book. And it's about a 30-minute test right in the middle of the book. And so I helped our kids a bunch. We would do that every year with our students, our seniors, give them tests. Listen, when you leave here, you ought to know where you're going. You shouldn't leave here. I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know where I'm going. Well, it's not going to get any better. You need to know how to hear from God. And it's not a hard thing. God doesn't yell. He almost kind of whispers, but you can hear his voice. I promise you.
That is true. All right. Hello, Joe and Angel. I have a very important question. My husband is a good man, a great provider, not a real believer. He's what you would call wishy-washy because he believes sometimes. I've always been the spiritual leader in our home, and I know that's part of the problem. However, I am baptized in the Holy Spirit, a firm 100% Jesus believer and follower. But my husband complains about everything from paying the bills to buying groceries or anything that has to do with me and our four kids that he pays for. I work and help buy groceries and pay bills too. But if it's for him and something he wants, he never says a word, doesn't complain. He just smiles and goes about his day. Not sure what else to do. I've prayed and prayed. Any advice would be helpful.
Hang up. Angel would do much better at this. Angel, give a good answer on that. Well, you need a third party. You need to go see a pastor. You need a friend. You need somebody to get involved. Somebody, because as men, we get in our own world. You know, I think I'm right. No man gets up. Hey, God, can you help me make 12 dumb decisions today? I'd really like to look stupid. I really love looking stupid. No man wants to look stupid. No man wants to miss something and make mistakes. But sometimes we get to thinking, well, I'm right. No, you just think you're right. You're not right. And so you need a third party. In the mouth of two or three witnesses, a thing is established. So pray for good friends to cross his path. Pray that God will take blindness from his mind. You know, he's doing some good things. He's not perfect. There are no perfect people, but you need to start kind of interceding. Just don't tell him you're praying. Just pray. Just, Lord, help my husband. Give him a desire to do what's right. Take care of us. That's his job. His job is to supply all of our needs. I mean, I tell every man when he gets married, you know, when a marriage is a funeral. Hallmark's got the cards all wrong. The day you get married, you die. You promise God and witnesses, hopefully, that day, that from that day forward, you're living for the other person. I don't live for me anymore. I want to find the one person I want to spend the rest of my life giving my life away to. And that's what men do.
Angel. Well, part of the problem is that he's not living for Jesus, and he's unhappy with himself.
Feeling pressure.
But I have a relative that is grumpy.
We all do.
Yes, and he'll tell you straight out that his biggest weakness that he deals with is he's very judgmental. Mm. and he's harsh. And truthfully, not many of us like to be around him.
No, doesn't have a lot of friends.
No. And
very successful what he does, but not many friends.
Yeah. So, you know, it's kind of a sad and lonely place to be.
Yes, it is.
And but the basis of it is it's selfish, but it's mostly because, you know what, when you become a believer and you learn what love does, love is giving, love is kind, love is, you know, long suffering, love is patient. And that's a hard one because it never feels good if somebody's complaining all the time. If you've got to buy something and it's just all you're hearing about it is the negative aspect of it.
Well, what you got to do, this is a very simple answer, just going back to the beginning. We've dealt with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of couples, got them in our own family. I tell people, the only thing you can do, you need to get God involved. Well, they don't want God. Well, it doesn't matter. You can get involved because God wants them more than you want them. God wants them to do what's right more than you want them to do what's right. God wants them to be a better spouse than you want them to be. So get God involved. So God just needs one person. God said, I'm looking all over there, to and fro, trying to find somebody to show myself strong in. So be the one. Father, I'm going to take the gap. I'm going to start praying for my husband. Lord, take blindness from his mind, lighten the eyes of understanding, give him the desire to do what's right. Have him be a real man, a lover, a leader, and a provider, like the Bible says he's supposed to be, not complain. And then hell's going to show up the minute you start praying. But you keep praying, and God will send laborers across his path. God's got so many people he can use, people you've never met, will never meet, but will cross his path and change his life. God wants him to change more than you do. He does.
And, you know, when you're going throughout your day, I mean, see through the eyes of faith, see him in church, see him holding his Bible, see him leading your family in Christ, you know, and just start thanking God for that.
That's the key word. Thank him in advance. Thank him in advance. Father, I thank you. I have a good husband. I think I got a loving man in my family. Knows how to care for his kids. He loves taking care of us. And don't tell him, tell God. And so God will listen. There's so many angels, you can't count them. God will start moving in his life. I promise you. I promise you he will.
Yeah, he will. And God will give you ideas on how to make this thing better. One time,
just for you,
that grumpy relative I told you about, one time a bunch of us went camping. And it was just like, oh, you couldn't. It was just like, you know, just negative, negative, negative. So finally, we came up with this game. I said, every time you say something negative, you got to put a quarter in the jar. And well, he had to put $20 in there before we got out of 5 minutes. We literally had to give him a 30-second grace period that after he said something, he'd have 30 seconds to just say more because he couldn't hardly stand it. And at the end of the week, he'd put in like 85% of the money, and we all went out to dinner, a very nice dinner on his treat.
Yeah.
But it really kind of exposed how negative he was. Mm-hmm. Did it change him? That week it sure did, because money definitely can change him. But you know, just kind of, you know, instead of just going, ugh, and it making your skin crawl, turn it around and start, you know, laughing about
it.
Be
the aggressive one with God. Be the aggressive. Don't sit there and just get your head stomped on like that, just mentally. So, no, I got a good man. And just sometimes you can tell him his face, you know, I appreciate you being a good husband.
Being a good provider. And
thank him every now and then. Ever told you I appreciate how you provide for us? It'll mess with him. He said, no, I appreciate that. And it'll start, the word of God will start working. It will work. I promise you it will work.
It will. All right, Joe. I divorced my first husband after years of physical, mental, and emotional abuse. I'm only in my 30s. After my divorce, I met a wonderful gentleman who is kind and caring, treats my children as if they were his own. He and I have talked about getting married, but my mother, who raised us very strictly, tells me that it would be adultery for me to marry again. She understood why I divorced my first husband, but she says that in the eyes of God, when a person is married, you're married for life. I guess my question would be, if I remarried, would I be considered an adulteress?
No. No, you would not. You know, Paul was eating at the Temple of Diana one time. The Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 New Testament. He's eating meat at the Temple of Diana, and it's a heathen temple. And then people come in and throw meat on the grill and fornicate with prostitutes or somebody else's wife, you know, because white women had to serve. But on the end of that temple, they had a restaurant. Well, Paul's in the restaurant eating some meat. And you can read it in Romans. So somebody comes in and said, you know where that meat came from? And Paul answered, said, yeah. He said, doesn't bother you to eat that meat? Paul said, no, it's just meat to me. Well, it bothers me. And Paul said, well, if it bothers you, I'm eating this meat, I won't eat it. Now, what Paul said that broke two-thirds of your test, prayed to the Holy Ghost all the time, said, it doesn't bother me. Now, basically, what the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. And I've told many a couple this. If you can't do it with a clear conscience, don't do it. But if it doesn't bother you, know, if there's no scripture against it, it's fine. And some people say, what about divorce rate? Well, for this case, what you did, you know, you heard the need to abuse you or had affairs or whatever. There's a reason, no reason. You know, you ought to get remarried. God's got somebody else for you. You don't stay single because some heathen did something evil. Well, now I got to live in a horrible life the rest of my life. So some heathen has more authority over me than God. Well, nobody has more authority than God. God loves me. And the Bible says, I can run boldly to the throne of grace to get mercy and help in time of need. Now, what's mercy? Well, mercy means it's something you don't deserve, you didn't earn, but God will give it. Oh, blind Bartimaeus at the side of the road heard Jesus was coming. He's been blind from birth. So what he said, what's the noise? Well, that healing rabbi's coming. He starts screaming, mercy, son of David, have mercy. Well, Jesus stopped in his tracks and gave him a new set of eyeballs. Mercy moves God. So what do you need? You need mercy right now. There's no law about this. You just the sheer insanity of staying single because some heathen did something wrong. No, you don't have authority. But God's my God, and God can make things born again. He can raise the dead, and so it'd be great. You got a new guy in your life, man. That's awesome. And your mom's she's trying to do what's right. I don't hardly meet anybody that's just downright evil. I meet people that don't understand the scriptures real good, or they're trying to apply the law. And you understand when Jesus was ministering, a mother came to him. Jesus is eating with some men at a table. And she's asking Jesus to heal her daughter that's sick. And he said, no, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. And he's trying to run her off. This is Jesus, the Son of God. He's trying to run off. And so she won't leave. And said, we don't feed meat to the dog's table. And she said, well, even dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the table. And Jesus looked at her and said, you know, some woman, you got faith. And her daughter was healed that moment. So you got to push in. So it's like some people think, no, Jesus was still ministering under the Old Testament. It wasn't until he came out of the grave that we have the new covenant. The old covenant was needed and good, but we're now under the new covenant. We're not under that law. Angels shared it many times. You know, Jesus gave two commandments. What's the great commandment? They asked Jesus. Two, love God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and love your neighbors, you love yourself. He said, if you'll do these two things, you'll fulfill the entire law. All the books of the Old Testament, you'll fulfill by doing these two things. God's not complicated. He's simple. And so God wants you to get on with your life. God's got a good man out there for you. And so I understand your mom's concern, but it's wrong thinking. You know, it's just wrong thinking. So,
listen, I've been divorced, and I wouldn't wish that on anybody. It's a terrible thing.
No.
For your children, you see, it's painful. There's a reason that God hates it.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be the marker for the rest of your life, like a scarlet letter. You know, I knew a couple, and there was some bad teaching a few years back,
yeah,
where people would say, well, you know, if you got born again, you need to go back to your first spouse.
Yeah, that's divorce your first spouse and go find the other.
And I saw so many people just mess up their lives, yeah, by this bad teaching. There was no scripture to back it up. I actually know a couple right now that the guy had been married before, divorced. This couple gets married. Then they have a daughter. This preacher tells him, you need to go back to your first wife. Well, his first wife didn't want him back. So they divorced and he never remarried. So now this woman has to raise this child by herself as a single mother. And the teaching, it was terrible. You know, it was just a terrible teaching. And so, like Joe says, I don't think your mother, she wants the best for you. I get that, but
yeah, and you got to understand, Jesus told the disciples when he first started ministry, do not go to the Gentiles, do not go to the Samaritans. And so you don't love the Gentiles? No, I've only been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. That's why I came to earth. God had to come to Abraham. That thing got broke. I've been sent to the lost sheep of Israel. But eventually, because they rejected him, the Gentiles were grafted in. God loves everybody. He's for everybody. There's no more legalism. There's no more, you know, 10 ways, 7 times, spit in the wind, turn around 5 times. There is no more of that. It's the love of God. It's the grace of God. The Bible says the righteous fall 7 times a day to get back up. There are no perfect people. There's just a lot of getting back up people. And that's what God's looking for. God loves people that are chasing him. You know, every person in the Bible, including David, the one all kings are measured against, sin with Bathsheba, man, that was a mess. How'd you go so stupid? Well, he did. Yet he's the one all kings are measured against, you know, trying to measure up to David. Even if you go to Israel, the headstone supposedly where he's buried, it says on his headstone, a man after God's own heart with the exception of Bathsheba. Well, that cost him. Cost him his kid, cost him everything. Hell never really left his home. But God forgave him and restored him, you know, to what he could. God's a loving God. So there's no legalism. Anytime you get into legalistic things, that's wrong. That's not God. It's like just the simple statement of, well, you're going to have to stay single the rest of your life and just suffer for what you did long ago. There's no sin that big. There's no sin that God can't forgive or restore. So, and a lot of people deal with it. We've got relatives that have dealt with it. And, it's just a sad thing, but you got to get in the Bible and find out what God really said. We're under a new covenant. God's good.
And it sounds like God has sent you a great man.
Man, it does.
For you and your children. Yeah. So
yeah,
I would celebrate that. Get married and have a great life.
Don't yell at your mom. Don't get upset. Smile and just pray for it. God will send somebody across their path. Or, you know, take some blindness. We're all blind at different times of our life. All of us need help. Everybody. There's nobody that doesn't need help. Me, you, we all need help because we might have grown here, but we still need to grow here. So we're still growing in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, but there's no more legalism. That law thing we did away with. You know, we used to joke about it. The Ten Commandments were God's will. God gave them to Moses. But I used to tell people when I taught the Bible those 10 years, no human on this planet has ever kept the Ten Commandments. You can read it in the Bible. No human has ever kept the Ten Commandments. They can't even remember the Ten Commandments. Was it important? Yeah, it was important. It was the will of God. But when Jesus died on that cross, the Bible says the veil in the temple ripped top to bottom. What did God say? No more bulls, no more goats, no more turtle doves, no more sacrifice. It's your faith, what Jesus did for you, not what you did. It's not what you're doing that makes you right. It's what Jesus did for you that makes you right. So get married, have a good life.
I was raised in a church that was very legalistic. Yeah. And I have to tell you, that's hard to overcome.
Very hard.
You have to really get in the word and get some good teaching.
You have to grow yourself up.
Yeah, and get in a good church too.
That, need a pastor.
Yeah, that's teaching.
Yeah.
Not teaching that legalism. I mean, I always felt like I had one foot in hell and the other on a banana peel. I got saved and saved and saved. And you know, it wasn't all bad. It wasn't, but it took me to a bunch of rules and not a relationship,
yeah,
which is why Jesus came.
That's why a lot of people leave the church. While the church is struggling in a lot of places.
Yeah. So enjoy.
I got enough trouble in my life without having more rules put on me. No, God's got a mercy and grace. People ran to Jesus. Even the thief on the cross been crucified next to him. Jesus looked at him right before he died and said, you'll be with me today in paradise. When did he get saved? On the cross, right before he died. It's like, did he get water baptized? Not believe in water baptism. Nope. Did he still go to heaven? Yep. You know, God's not illegal. It's just, we just have bent this thing out of proportion. God is a loving, grace-oriented, merciful God. He is.
Yes.
Does that mean you do anything you want to? No. Because God sees my heart. When I get to heaven, I'll give him account of my heart. God knows what I was thinking. And so there, you can't fool God. I'll give him account of every idle word, every idle deed. But right now, we're on the planet where there's mercy and grace.
Yes.
There is.
And God wants you to have the best life.
Yes.
So send us a picture of your wedding
day.
That
would be great. Yeah,
we would love to celebrate that with you. And thanks so much for joining us today on this wonderful Mailbag Monday. We pray you have a great week.
Yes.
That you're blessed.
Yes.
In everything you put your hand to. And new opportunities will open up for you this week.
Jesus.
Thank you for joining us. We love you very much. And we'll see you next Monday.
God bless. Be sure to join us Monday, Wednesday, and Friday to hear more of what God can do in your life. It's got a great future for you and your family. We're here to help you get there. Please make sure you visit Joe McGee Ministries on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. There you find all of our Friday funny videos and other encouraging resources for you and your family. While you're at it, be sure to visit joemcgee.com. We have all sorts of materials, books, DVDs, you name it,
all there to help you, your marriage and your family succeed.